7:14 into our August routine, what I think is normal August, with rain earlier and more often, showers over the causeway as I understand it right now. Next half hour, we'll talk to Jeff Nowak, WWL sports reporter, digital producer, Saints sideline reporter, about the black and gold as they head to California to practice and take part in the preseason game number one against the Chargers Sunday evening. We'll have all the action for you here on WWL. Aline, am I pronouncing it right? Laspina joins us now?
Yes, you got it?
Perfect. I'm sorry, yeah. Aline Laspina, who is the executive director of Bike Easy, to talk about bike safety and two cyclists killed on St. Claude Avenue weeks apart. Tell me what happened there, Aline, and we'll go from there.
Well, I mean, super unfortunate, you know, two more deaths on St. Claude, which is one of the state corridors running through our city, one of the most dangerous places, I feel like, for a lot of folks to bike right now. It's just very sad, you know, because it literally happened within 10 days of each other, mm-hmm. one at night, one, you know, during peak hour in the afternoon. It was very sad. We were very close to the second crash. We were actually presenting our Safer St. Claude campaign that night and, you know, kind of stumble upon these. So it's been very intense.
So tell me about St. Claude Avenue. What makes that so bad?
So there's a few things going on with St. Claude. You know, it's a truck route, so you have a lot of trucks going down there. There's a lot of issues with speeding, so people not, you know, the city is not necessarily enforcing consistently ticketing folks that are speeding. There's a lot of illegal parking on the neutral ground, which reduces the visibility for anybody that's walking around, that's driving or biking, so that just makes things pretty tough right there. Not all the lighting is working right now on St. Claude. There's not a lot of good crosswalk markings. Some of the signage is missing. So, you know, we've been just trying to get all the agencies involved in making this corridor safer, come together and see eye to eye on a solution. And I think we're finally kind of there. So that's good.
And as you say that, somebody texted in, I know that bike wrecks on St. Claude is spurring the bike safety talk. We need police down St. Claude. It's like the Wild West out there. We don't need more infrastructure. Bike lanes are nice and wide. We need cops pulling people over without license plates that are speeding. It's even a little unnerving to drive a car down St. Claude Avenue sometimes. I haven't been there lately, so I wouldn't know this. In this instance,
yeah.
I'm reading the NOLA.com article, a Channel 4 article, rather, by Alyssa Curtis, a talented reporter. And she says, a cyclist was killed by an 18-wheeler, St. Claude and Frank Lawton Avenue. Authorities say the truck was headed west when the driver stopped, began to turn right onto Franklin. According to NOP, the cyclist reportedly entered the vehicle's blind spot and was pronounced dead at the scene, 65 years old. But to me, and maybe I have it wrong because I don't have a diagram or anything, but
yeah.
To me, Aline, this goes to the bike lane being between the right lane and the cross street, because that means a vehicle has to make a right turn and cross over the bike lane, and if it's in a blind spot, it's a recipe for disaster, right? Am I missing something? I always did think that was a bad design. Every morning when I come to work, I come down Camp Street, and right there at Poydras, I got a bike lane. I got to make a right turn, so I got to make sure that, A, nobody's coming down Poydras, right, because you got to drive defensively. Then I got to make sure that there's nobody in the bike lane in addition to pedestrians. Thoughts?
Yeah, correct. I mean, you know, and in this case, if the person riding the bicycle is going straight, it's really the person on the bicycle's right of way, you know, before the person that turns right. Back in 2019, there was a very similar incident on Elysian Fields and St. Claude Avenue. And I can't remember if it was the city or the state, but they actually changed the way that the design happens on Elysian Fields and St. Claude to make it safer. You know, so like that, you have more time if you're the truck to be able to see if somebody's coming in the bike lane. And I think that's the tricky thing. It's, you know, there has to be enforcement, there has to be changing design, but also changing behavior. We have to be aware that there's other users on the road. I mean, it's sucky, like a blind spot for a truck is much bigger than a blind spot for a vehicle, but that's why, you know, you just have to be really cautious, especially if you know you're going next to a bike lane. Mm.
So when it comes to this case, do you know if anybody was charged in this or not?
I have no idea how they're moving forward with these.
So if you have a green arrow to turn right and there's a bike lane, the bike still has a right of way?
My understanding is yes. Mm. You know, the same way it says yield to pedestrians, you have to yield to people on bikes. I mean, and that's one of the things that needs to be improved in the corridors, signage for people to understand where they need to be. Because sometimes the signs are confusing.
I know people are texting in about bicyclists, and look, I see them doing the same thing, not using the lanes, not running through stoplights.
Yeah, correct.
And doing the wrong thing. But, you know, if you're going to call out bicyclists for that, you also got to call out the people in the cars that are seldom doing what they're supposed to be doing while they're driving, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you make a really great point. We like to remind people that we're people. It's people that we're talking about. It's not a vehicle that killed a person. It's, you know, a person driving, a person biking. That's one of the things we're trying to just highlight. Like, these are people who are getting killed that shouldn't be killed.
I don't know.
Like, this could be prevented.
Yeah, I don't know why there's this animosity toward bikers in the city, but there seems to be every now and then I get texts. I don't even know it's from people that live in the city. But you understand what I'm saying? Do you feel that sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've been around over two decades doing education on people who bike, whether they're kids or adults, seasoned people who bike, or just people who are pretty new to biking. And, you know, it's a constant struggle to just make sure that everybody's on the same page, the same way to make sure that everybody who drives is following, you know, like how many times we encounter people who don't use their blinkers, don't respect stop signs, run stoplights. You know, but again, we all need to shift the way we behave on the streets, because we are not the only people on the road.
And the way we drive as well, and paying attention to what the heck we're doing. And I got a new vehicle recently, and it changed the way I drive, because now I am driving extremely defensively, which is the way I should have been driving all along. Aline Laspina is our guest, executive director of Bike Easy. We'll talk about bike safety more when we come back, about some bike lanes around some people. I'm getting texts here saying they're a waste of time put in places they aren't used. Other people saying, you know what, in the places where they're put in the right way, they're very safe. So we'll continue the conversation. You can text your thoughts into me at 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. But I must add, no texting and driving. Pay attention to what you're doing. Back in a flash, traffic now, WWL. 726 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I'm getting some texts from you saying that my voice sounds low and everything's where it's supposed to be. I don't know what's going on with that, but I can't scream. I'm here for 4 hours. If I scream for 4 hours, I'm going to be hoarse when I go home, and I can't do that. Aline Laspina is our guest, executive director of Bike Easy. Aline, when you talk about right of way, my daddy always taught me, and this stuck with me, the right of way is not something you have. It's something people give you. If they don't give it, you don't have it. So what advice,
What advice
would you give to cyclists?
Be predictable. Signal, look around you. I feel, for me, like when I ride my bike everywhere I go, that's my main means of transportation, is like make eye contact with a driver. Like the other day I was coming down just before Washington on Norman C. Francis, and it was my turn to go. I had clearly taken my lane to go straight, and this car just did a right hook right in front of me. Fortunately, I was paying attention, so I did not collide with this vehicle. But
so
it
you
was
both had the green light.
Yeah,
you see, and
I was in the proper place on the lane.
That's what I'm saying. To me, that's and I don't know what they do in other cities. I don't know how you redesigned it, but that seems like a terrible design to me, because what you're telling me is, not you, but I'm saying the city,
is that you're
telling me we both have the green light and it's okay for me to cross over another lane of traffic. In essence, I'm making, as far as the bike lane is concerned, I'm making a right turn from the center lane over the right lane of traffic. That's what you're telling me to do.
You wouldn't
a green
do
line.
That with a vehicle.
No, that's the point I'm making. But the city's saying it's okay as long as you check first that there's no bicyclist in the lane, right?
Not going to speak for the city. I'll tell you what they do in other cities.
Well, tell me what they do in other cities then. Go ahead.
In other cities, usually there's a thing called the bike box, which we have a couple in the city. And it's technically, you know, where you usually have the crosswalk, or some people call it the zebra lines. Usually in that spot, there's a symbol so people know that the bicycle is going to get ahead of the traffic. So once the light turns, they're in front, so they know they go first. I think sometimes here it's a little bit confusing. Like if you're going down Barone and you're about to cross the interstate, you have to be like extremely careful, because a lot of people are getting to, they're going to go into the ramp. So So you have to, like, really look in the back and can make it clear I'm going straight so they know. And I, in my experience, more often than not, people are respectful of that. But, you know, there's bad apples everywhere.
See, what you just said,
yeah,
that bike box,
predictable.
And I think I've seen those in Algiers and De Gaulle. That makes every bit of sense, because what that is it's like a 90-degree turning lane or whatever, and the biker would have to be at the street level and pause so that there would be a buffer between the right lane, and the lane, the bike lane, and the left, the center lane, or whatever you want to call it, that the vehicle is in, right?
Yeah, correct.
So it seemed to me like bike boxes are the answers.
Yes, and, you know, if we wanted to be that modern, there's some places that actually have lights specific for people who bike, which we have a lot of these, I forgot the exact technical name for it, but they're pedestrian lights around the CBD where, I don't know if folks have noticed, but the signal for the pedestrian kicks in to green before the light turns to green for a vehicle to allow the pedestrian to start crossing the street first, so they're more visible to a person with a that's driving. So,
thank you.
Like, and if you notice next time you're driving down downtown, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to Jeff Nowak when we come back about the Saints here on WWL. You got any questions about the black and gold? 504-260-1870. Of course, we're going to have all the action for you here when the Saints take on the Chargers on Sunday evening. And Drew Brees is going to be a special guest on Sports Talk tomorrow. That's another note for you. We'll get Drew's take on Saints football, quarterback battle, head coach Kellen Moore, and the team's new strategy, plus NOLA Pickle Fest, Drew's annual pickleball tournament community event, which is happening tomorrow through Sunday in the heart of New Orleans at the Convention Center. It's a great event that blends fast-paced competition, live entertainment, and family fun, all in support of the Brees Dream Foundation. Saints legendary quarterback, Super Bowl champion Drew Brees, tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 here on Saints Radio, WWL. We'll talk to Jeff Nowak when we come back right now, WWL First News. Man, I can't wait till Sunday. I'm going to tell you what. Saints getting it going preseason with the battle at the Chargers. Game day coverage starts at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Steve Geller, Charlie Long for First Take. Then at 1, countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert. Get all-pro analysis of the matchup. Game time, 3:05. Turn down your TV, turn up the home team. Deuce, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak on the sideline. And after the game, join the Cajun Cannon for the point after. 10 hours, wall-to-wall Saints coverage. Saints at Chargers Sunday on Saints Radio, WWL, and the free Odyssey app. The aforementioned sideline reporter Jeff Nowak joins us now. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm all packed. I'm ready to get on the plane. You know, excited for the significant drop in humidity I'm about to experience. You know, it's good stuff.
People that have never been on a team charter flight have no idea the freedom that you enjoy, do they?
Well, the preseason, we fly commercials.
Oh,
so
we're
like the rest of you. Oh. Yes, yes.
Well, in that case, you got to go through security. Season. You got to fasten your seat belts and so forth. Normally on those charters, they don't even tell you when they're taking off. It's like what do you call them? It's like, you know what it's like? It's like the Ten Commandments movie when Moses goes up to get the mountains. They got people running around doing all kinds. No, I'm just teasing. Tell me about your impression so far. What has stood out most to you at Saints training camp?
Yeah, well, what stood out is I think maybe the offense is a little behind the defense at this point, and so we'll get a better picture of that on Sunday. Because early in camp, it's always like, all right, the defense is winning, but how good is the defense? Right? Mm-hmm. That's always the question when you're playing. You know, you don't play against your own defense in games; you play against other teams' defenses. So, I think this weekend is where we kind of start to get a picture of. Okay, is maybe the offense a little ahead of the defense because are the defense a little ahead of the offense because the defense is in line for a really big year, which is what you'd hope, or is maybe the offense just scuffling a bit, and that's not completely unreasonable considering you change schemes, you have two young quarterbacks, they're competing, so they're you're not getting, if you had picked one guy and you said this is the starter, he'd be getting all the first team reps. Instead, you're kind of splitting those, so you're not getting as many reps. So maybe both guys are a little further behind the curve than they would be if they got all the reps. And that's kind of where I'd like to see, personally, this quarterback competition wrap up on the earlier side, because I do think that you need to get one of these guys, whoever it is, I don't really care who it is, you need to get one of them enough reps so that week one rolls around, because it's going to be here before you know it, and I want them to be ready. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I think that's very interesting, because I would then ask you if one distinguishes themselves, although not everybody can play with the ones, right? I mean, how do you let each quarterback play with the ones and really show you what they can do or against the ones in with only three preseason games, and yet still determine who it is that's standing out to give them the most reps. It seems like a conundrum to me.
That's the tough part of a quarterback battle, right? It's not as difficult with any other position because you can kind of alternate and you can switch them out. With a quarterback battle, it's also contingent on who are you playing with, right? You don't really want to have the first team offensive line in there the entire time. And you can't really call it first team reps unless the quarterback's out there with the first team offensive line, right? There was the Jets had a problem a while ago with Rex Ryan as their head coach because they had Mark Sanchez in there who was supposed to be their starter, but they pulled their starting offensive line. He ended up getting hurt because he was playing behind the second mm-hmm. stringers. And it's like, you don't want that to happen. But you also have to kind of balance it out if you're really dedicated to the quarterback competition part of it. It's a lot easier to do in practice than it is to do in a game, right? Because you're not hitting in practice. And so you have a little bit more safety built in with your offensive line. Like yesterday, for example, at practice, Spencer Rattler got the first team reps for the first several sets of drills. And then the final set of drills, which is third down specific, Shuck was in there with the first team offensive line and first team receivers for the final nine reps, right? So you kind of balance it out that way. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it in a game, right? Do you alternate series? Do you alternate quarters? Is your plan to have this ride through the second preseason game, which would allow you to say, hey, we're going to get one of these guys the first team reps in this game. Next game, we're going to get that other guy the first team reps, and you go from there. The issue is, like I mentioned, you know, I think you'd really like to home in on one of these guys, and that's really just slowing it down. But it's going to be up to Kellen. Like, this is his first time as a head coach. It's his boat, so he gets to steer, and we'll see how he manages it.
Let me take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk about the practice on Sunday, and I guess as it relates to other training camps, was it brutal or not? Was it productive or not? And also, when it comes to the defense, some players that have particularly stood out to you. We're talking to Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter. Saints tee it up against the Chargers on Sunday afternoon, kickoff 3:05. Our coverage starts at 10 here on WWL. Right now we pause for traffic. 7:58, our coverage starts at 11 on Sunday with the Saints taking on the Chargers. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter. Tell me some names on defense. I know I hear Chase Young's having a pretty good camp. Who else?
Yeah, Chase Young is kind of flying around. You know, he dropped a little weight. Him and Carl Granderson, I think they're playing a little lighter this year. So, you know, they just seem a little more mobile than we've had in years past, and hopefully that helps. You know, one of the issues the Saints have had is dealing with mobile quarterbacks. I think this new scheme is going to help that. You know, Devon Godshaw is a guy that I think, you know, when the Saints switched defenses, their biggest need was, hey, we got to go get a nose tackle who can help us stuff the run. And I think he was exactly what they needed. They traded for him from the Patriots. He's just, you know, we talked to offensive linemen, his fellow defensive linemen. This is a league full of big, strong guys, and they're all raving about how big and strong he is. So, you know, he's just going to be a load in there. I think he's going to help a ton because this team just hasn't done much against the run the last couple of years. You know, a depth guy who's been interesting is Jasheen Davis. He's a UDFA out of Wake Forest. Over the course of last week, I think between three practices, he had five sacks with the second and third team. So he's kind of been all over the place. So I'm hoping he can keep that going in the preseason game on Sunday. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry has just been kind of blossoming into a star this camp. You needed that because you moved on from Paulson to Debo, Marshawn Lattimore. So you're kind of resetting at the cornerback position. You need, and I think every good defense has, you know, one of those guys you just don't want to throw at, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he's kind of developing into that. He's confident. He dropped a little weight as well. He's playing more closer to his Alabama weight when he had a lot of success as a sophomore. So he's feeling really good about himself right now.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good trip. We'll talk to you again soon. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Of course, we'll be listening for him and Deuce and Mike Haas doing a game on Sunday afternoon because it is a lot more enjoyable when you listen to it on WWL. Turn on TV sound, especially during preseason. My Lord in heaven.